The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Now, President Trump is hearing from many people looking to get a certain policy agenda looked at. And, well, Matt McCaw over at Greater Idaho is trying to get his attention, too. Greater Idaho movement. Hello, Matt. Welcome back to the program. Good to talk with you.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Now, for those who don't know, Greater Idaho is essentially expanding Idaho to suck up a good portion of eastern Oregon and southern Oregon out to the coast. And the goal, apparently, is to rescue us from the bloodthirsty communists in Salem, because now they're in the supermajority, Matt. Okay? So there we are. And now Greater Idaho is sounding better all the time. Now, me being a patron saint of lost causes, and hopefully it's not lost cause, but I wanted to talk with you about this, and you ended up reaching out to the Trump transition team. Huh? What do you say?
Yeah, so we, Bill, you said it. Eastern Oregon, Southern Oregon are very conservative places. We've been voting conservatively and asking for a certain kind of government for decades that we don't ever get, because the Portland metro area can overwhelm us. It doesn't make any sense where our border currently is, because that's not where the cultural and political divide in our state is. So all we're asking to do is move this imaginary line that was set there 200 years ago, 250 miles west to the Cascade Mountain Range, so that the counties in eastern Oregon specifically can get their governance from the state of Idaho. We have been going for the last 4 years and asking people directly, do you want this to happen? Do you want your elected leaders to pursue making your county part of Idaho? And 13 counties in eastern Oregon have said yes. So we've spent the last 4 years answering, why do these counties want to leave? But we now know that they do. The question moving forward is, why are they not able to leave? And that's why we've administration.
Okay, what was that? You said, okay, the question is, why are they not able to leave? And then your phone dropped out.
If the people are asking to say, we want this to happen, why is it not happening? And so people need to understand the process is both state legislatures have to agree to move a line. The state of Idaho has passed legislation inviting the state of Oregon to begin border talks. The people of Eastern Oregon have said, we want these border talks to happen. The Oregon legislature has ignored us. They've refused to meet with us. We've reached out to the governor. We've introduced legislation in the Oregon legislature. And Oregon is holding these counties captive against our wishes. And so that's why we reached out to the Trump administration. We have a new administration coming in that is an outside-the-box, willing to look at practical solutions to longstanding problems. And we think that there's a good chance that President Trump could get in and get behind our movement.
Why do you think that President Trump would get involved in something like this? Because on its face, the borders of a state are really under the purview, as you even mentioned, it's up to the state legislature, and the state legislature probably likes the idea of being able to stamp a liberal boot into the face of, well, Grant County and eastern Oregon and southern Oregon and everything else. I mean, it's not much fun having power if you can't stamp a boot in someone's face. What do you say?
Yeah, so we think that the Trump administration would want to get involved because you have a situation out here in Oregon where you have about 400,000 people in eastern Oregon who have voted and said, we would like to separate from our state government and peacefully join this other state. And they are not being allowed to do that. They're being held captive by a state government that won't let them go. And that's wrong. Bill, almost everybody agrees people should have government that they want, that's by the people, for the people, with the consent of the people, and what the majority of a people in an area or a community want. And yet that's not happening here. We have 400,000 people who are not allowed self-determination because the people in Northwest Oregon, the Oregon legislature, is refusing to let them go. That's an injustice, and that's something that is wrong, shouldn't happen to American citizens, and we think that is a very motivating factor to get involved.
How did other boundary moves happen in the past? Could you give us any history of how that has happened and why certain states would permit it? Because it would seem weird, you know, that because it comes right down, and I'm looking at it from a very cynical point of power. It's like, nobody tends to let someone go. Usually people have to just say, we're going, and then they have to defend it. Would you agree with me that's usually the way it is? Because, like I had mentioned, you're a commie, and you're up there in the state legislature. you want to be able to command someone in Grant County or in Jackson County or Josephine County to bend to our will, because otherwise, what's the fun of having all that power? Now, you might think I'm being flippant when I say that, but we are talking about a true tyrannical attitude that infests most politicians that end up going there. Okay.
Well, unfortunately, Bill, you are right, and that is something that we see play out through history over and over again. But there are plenty of also historical instances where people said, "We want freedom. We want a new form of government. We want self-determination," and we figured out how to peacefully make that happen. There's been multiple times in the history of the United States where states have moved their border, full counties have moved out of one state and into another state, full states have carved off of other states. Oregon and Washington moved their border in 1958 using the process we're talking about, precisely the same exact thing, except it didn't move very far, but they used this process. There's a process there because the founders understood that placing an imaginary line around people is a political tool. It's something you do for political reasons. And to put an imaginary line around a geographic area 200 years ago and think that that line would never need to be updated is ridiculous. It's a political tool to group similar peoples for political reasons. Let's update it just like we do with redistricting every 10 years, where we say, you know what, this doesn't represent the people as well as it could. Let's shift this imaginary line. That's all we're asking to do. When we have a situation like this where you have a group of people that say, we can no longer tolerate being grouped with this other set of people, you really only have two options. You can do what you said and say, you know, rebel or revolt and leave and try to use force to get your way.
Oh, no. They're not. We're not using force to get our way. They're using force to keep us in. It's quite different. I would look at it more of resistive. So, I mean, wouldn't it make sense if in some ways the eastern and southern counties started to sour the milk, so to speak, in which they just don't like us so much, and maybe, you know, maybe they're happy enough to let us go. I don't know. It just seems to me, hoping that, hey, you know, listen, Mr. Comey and Mrs. Comey in the legislature, please let us go. We really don't want to be here. Hey, listen, we have some of our commies down there too. We got Pam Marsh and Jeff Golden, et cetera, et cetera. What are we going to do with them? I don't know.
Well, and Bill, you may be right that maybe down the road that's where you need to go. But our organization has taken this political path. There is a political pathway, a peaceful political pathway that we can exhaust. We've only been at this for 4 years. We are just getting to the point of saying, hey, we know what these people want to do. Now let's all sit down around the table, Governor Kotek, Governor Little, the Oregon legislature, the Idaho legislature.
So, and I just want to be clear, though. You're saying, though, that Idaho is open to it. Right. That would be fine. All right.
Yep. Yeah. The Idaho legislature, the House passed a memorial in 2023. Governor Little has said he publicly supports border talks. Oregon is or Idaho.
Matt. I think someone just cut his line. Someone cut his line. We'll get it back on. I want to get the closing thought from him in just a minute. Hang on.
This is Brent with Home and Built Deck and Fence. Many customers in the Rogue Valley ask why we say fall and winter are great times for deck, fence, and siding projects. The answer? Faster scheduling, quicker completion, and better prices than next spring. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation now. Home and Built provides top-notch design, quality craftsmanship, and exceptional service. You work hard year-round, and so do we. Visit homeandbuilt.com to see our work. That's HOMANBUILT.com. Home and Built. We build the best and fix the rest.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
Changing weather norms means changes to water quality. Be sure your drinking water is safe. The highs and lows of water levels, increasing cases of contamination, and land use changes can all impact your water quality. The only way to know if your water is safe is to have it tested. Call on Grants Pass Water Lab for fast service, help understanding your results, and affordable pricing. You'll find them online at gpwaterlab.com. Independent and serving the Rogue Valley for more than 40 years.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
726, back with Matt McCaw. Pardon me, Matt McCaw, rather. Greater Idaho Movement. Matt, we lost the phone for some reason, but we got you back. I figured that someone didn't like you, cut the line. So we had to get you on a different one. He's talking about secession. No, it's not secession. It's just moving the boundaries around with Greater Idaho. Now, it's a high bar. This is why you ended up reaching out to the Trump administration, the incoming Trump administration. Have they answered back with your pleas to help get involved, maybe, in a Greater Idaho talk for Eastern and Southern Oregon? What do you think?
Well, we haven't heard back yet, but we just sent that letter out and made it public yesterday. So it's still very early on. News takes a while to filter through the different layers of administration. But again, we are hopeful. This is an idea that most Americans support, that people should be able to choose their own government. And if people vote for something, that government doesn't have a right to say, no, you can't do that. So this is something that majority of people support and agree with, and we see a good chance that the Trump administration would say, yeah, what's going on out there in Eastern Oregon? Why are these people voting for something and their government in the state is refusing to do it?
Is there anything we could sweeten to get the liberal legislature to maybe be more agreeable? Like, okay, you're concerned you would lose access to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Perhaps we could then move it to Eugene or just north of the border so that way they'd still have their tourist attraction that they could go to. What do you think? Will we have to do that and start horse trading?
We're open to all suggestions. I think sometimes people think that, like, if an imaginary line moves, that somehow these places are going away. No, Ashland will still be right where Ashland is. Bend in central Oregon will still be right where it is. You'll just have to cross an imaginary line that you didn't used to have to cross.
Wouldn't those two communities, though, kind of cause trouble for a Greater Idaho? Because, they probably wouldn't be really happy with doing that, would they?
Well, you're right. And that's why. So if you've noticed on our map, our proposal cuts around the city of Bend. Bend has become a very, very left-leaning place. That's fine. If that's what Bend wants for Bend's community, then they can have that. But the state of Idaho doesn't want a heavily left-leaning community joining their state. Idaho is very conservative. And Bend doesn't want to join Idaho. The beauty of moving an imaginary line, a border, is it can go wherever it makes sense. And we've placed it where we think it makes the most sense.
I got an idea. Now, when I'm just having you have to admit, I have to have a little fun with you when we talk about this, though. We could take
Sure.
You could take Bend and Ashland and take them out of Idaho and just consider them territories, like old territories they had back in the days. This is the Ashland territory. Part of Oregon, still part of Oregon, part of the Oregon Territory with Ashland in the middle of Greater Idaho.
We're open to all suggestions, Bill. Write your best suggestions down and send them my way. And when we get to border talks, we'll pull them up.
Yeah, I do think, though, that would be very helpful. I can see why Idaho would like to do this, though, because ultimately you'd get access to the coast, right? Isn't that what Idaho would see as an advantage for this, getting access?
There's a ton of advantages. Long term, you get access to the coast and a port potentially in Coos Bay. But even just adding like-minded voters, Idaho's very conservative. They want to stay very conservative. The people that we're looking to add to Idaho are also very conservative, even more conservative, voted more for Trump than Idaho did even. So they would add like-minded people, keep Idaho, Idaho, room to grow, land, resources, tax revenue. There's a ton of advantages for Idaho. And Idahoans see that. Their elected leaders see that.
Okay, interesting. Matt, let me take a call. I think this is, I believe this is Tom. Hello, Tom. How you doing?
Thank you. Good morning. I'm pretty ignorant of Idaho politics, I confess, and I have no interest in changing one tyrant for another tyrant. So one of the ways that I would measure the worthwhileness is how they handled Idaho, how it handled the pandemic, because, here in Oregon, we had very severe, what I would call medical fascism. And I lost a few friends due to the medical establishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did Idaho, as a measuring gauge, how did Idaho handle the pandemic?
That's a really interesting question, Tom. Thanks for making that. Matt, how did How did Idaho handle COVID?
Very differently than the state of Oregon. So if you remember during, the first month or two, the whole country kind of panicked and freaked out, and governors all over the country were shutting things down and shutting down businesses, shutting down schools. The difference was states like Idaho realized fairly quickly within the first couple months, okay, we got to get back to normal. Businesses opened up, churches opened up, kids went back to school that next fall. Masks were not mandatory. Masks were optional. The difference between the way the state of and the state of Oregon could not have been more stark, and the way state of Idaho handled it was much better. I tell this story. I was in Oregon, and my cousin had gone to Idaho and came back, and he came back and he was like, "Oh yeah, I went to church on Sunday. We went out to lunch afterwards at a restaurant."
Wow.
And my mind was blown. I was like, whoa, because at that time, early on in the pandemic, or everything in Oregon was locked up. You couldn't go to church. You couldn't eat in restaurants. We were totally locked down. Meanwhile,
yeah,
200 miles
Idaho,
they were living.
That makes sense. Well, it kind of reminds me when I went to Cedarville, California, which is far eastern California, which has very much the same line of thinking as eastern Oregon does. And we walked into a cafe and we had our mask ready at that time during the pandemic time, and we walked into the restaurant and we had our mask on, and then we walked in and they looked at us. Nobody else was wearing a mask in there, and they looked at us and they said, "You aren't from around here, are you?"
They did have
a different way of looking at it. So interesting, Matt. Matt, by the way, is with Greater Idaho, the Greater Idaho Movement. You can find out more about this and read up. And I like I said, this is fascinating. I would love to see it happen. GreaterIdaho.org, GreaterIdaho.org. Keep us in the loop here when you get an answer back from the Trump administration, because this does sound like something kind of Trumpy. I think he might be in favor of this. You could have something
absolutely
there, Matt. All right?
Absolutely. This is exactly the kind of idea that a person that's a non-political who doesn't think that, we have to do things a certain way, this is exactly the kind of idea to say, hey, this is a win-win. It could make the lives better for 400,000 people. I'm on it. So I will definitely keep you on the loop. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
You're very welcome, Matt. Matt McCall. It is 733 at KMED and KBXG.
As a business owner, you likely do a lot of driving around town, so turn your business vehicle into an attention-getting rolling billboard. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab brands and restyles cars, pickups, vans, even big rigs with durable vinyl to present your business logo and info in a professional, contemporary design that's guaranteed to make a bold statement. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab is your source for paint protection film, window tint, and vinyl wrap for your personal vehicle, too. Get your design suggestion today. Visit washbuggyautospa.com.
Just look at it.
Yeah, it looks great in the moonlight.
And talk about quiet operation. We're not waking up the neighbors.
So smooth and sleek. American Industrial Door knows their stuff.
Okay, it's my turn. Give me the remote.
Mom? Dad?
Yeah?
Are you gonna stop playing with the new garage door soon?
Go back to bed, sweetie.
If your garage door is keeping you up at night, it should be for all the right reasons. Visit AmericanIndustrialDoor.net.
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A man has been arrested in connection to a November 22nd murder in Josephine County on Grave Creek Road. Police got a call about a stabbing and arrived on the scene to find Daniel Finney from Wolf Creek near his car with several stab wounds. Before Finney died, he was able to give information to the person who reported the crime. Keandre Blanding of Springfield was arrested by investigators and is facing charges of second-degree murder. Federal funds are coming to the Pacific Northwest for recovery efforts focused on Pacific salmon and steelhead. The Department of Commerce and NOAA Fisheries are making $99 million available to advance state and tribal work to restore fish populations and habitat. Leaders of a movement to move Oregon's eastern border are asking President-elect Trump to support the idea. The group Citizens for Greater Idaho sent a letter to Trump Wednesday, telling the president, quote, "bring a peaceful resolution to Oregon's long-standing east-west divide." I'm Bill London, KMED News.
You want price transparency? I'll give you price transparency. Joel here with Butler Ford and Truck Center, and from now through the end of December, I'm posting every invoice on every single new Ford on the lot. Walk the lot, see your invoice price, and let's make a deal. I've got 44 F-150s with the invoices posted, 56 Super Duties with the invoices posted, 51 Broncos with the invoices posted. Plus, I've got Escapes, Explorers, Rangers, Mavericks, Mustangs. All 226 new Fords on the lot have the invoice posted at Butler Ford for the rest of December. And remember, if you're a business owner looking to take advantage of the $179 tax deduction for the year-end purchase, Butler Ford is your $179 headquarters. All my Super Duties qualify for the $179 deduction, or maybe you want a lease. Come see me, and I'll show you how it's done. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, right off of exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, your savings. Well, we got it all. And for the rest of December, dealer invoices clearly posted, making it easy for you to get a great deal on your next Ford.
Tis the season for huge savings on your holiday gifts at your local Coastal.
Coastal Farm and Ranch, just what your holidays need.
Shop from December 3rd through the 10th for everything you need to have an unforgettable holiday. Choose from 10 patterns of Victory pajama pants for the whole family at just $6.99 a pair. We're your one-stop holiday toy shop. Get something unique for the kids with specially sourced Farm and Ranch toys that you won't find at a regular retailer. Save a special 30% off Alley Ranch and Country Life branded sets for your little ranchers. Plus 30% off all toys from Paradise Kids. We have toys for your pets, too. Browse our full pet department for deals like 25% off all holiday dog and cat toys and 25% off all regular cat toys.
Coastal Farm and Ranch, just what your holidays need.
Whether for the home or the farm, we're decking the stalls with deals at Coastal.
Hi, I'm Steve Potter, body shop manager of Lithia Body and Paint, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
You know, we've been talking a lot this morning, off and on, about air quality. And actually, we've been suffering from bad air quality here in the Rogue Valley for several days with the inversion. And it's one of the reasons why I was open to talking with Mike Dillon about this. And Mike Dillon is a founder and inventor at Air Water Healing, airwaterhealing.com. And how you doing, Mike? Welcome back to the show.
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Now, I was talking earlier this morning about how they're now blaming Generation X's depression on too much leaded gasoline back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and it finally ended up going away here. I don't know. Did you hear about that at all, that story?
I read a little bit into it, but I don't buy it.
Oh, you're not buying that? Okay. Are you Generation X? Just curious.
No.
Okay. All right. So you're not depressed, in other words.
No, I'm very happy. Okay. I'm outside and they're looking at God's painting right now.
Okay. Where do you live? I'm just curious.
We're in Boynton Beach, Florida.
All right. Very good. Okay. So you're in God's country. Very good. Wanted to ask you, though, about you and other people are talking about a serious problem with inside air, especially when we have things shut up in the wintertime, and that we have more dangerous air inside than we otherwise might think. I mean, I change my furnace filters and everything else. It's not enough, I guess,
yeah,
right? Is that kind of what you're saying?
There's a lot of organizations out there that say that indoor air can be anywhere from 5 times to 100 times more toxic than outdoor air. And, you know, most people would say, how is that when you have pollution from diesel trucks, diesel exhaust fluid, power plants that are, contaminating. You know, there was 11 power plants that produced more pollution than 33 states combined in 2023. And I think one of the biggest things to look at is remember when we got shut down with COVID and, everybody was inside. I think there was it was almost like a Black Friday gladiator campaign fighting mm-hmm. over bleach and Lysol at Costco's when everybody was trying to disinfect everything that, you know, we were touching. And you have to think about off-gassing from chemicals. And I'm not just going to blame bleach. There are so many synthetic things that are inside of our house, off-gassing from hardwood, pressed wood furniture, even your mattresses, and almost anything synthetic that you bring inside of your home. It creates almost like a chemical soup, and you just hit the nail right on the head. During the winter, it's even worse because due to energy efficiency, we're trapping ourselves indoors.
Yeah, and trying to seal our houses up as much as possible. Now, I know there are ways to kind of get around that. What do they call it? An air-to-air heat exchanger. I've talked to an HVAC guy you know, about that here on the show from time to time. And that seemed to make a lot of sense, where you could bring fresh air in but still try to keep most of the heat or the cooling content, depending on what time of year you're doing this. But you ended up inventing a filter that's looking at it a different way, I guess. And you were actually part of the HVAC industry, right? Isn't that what you did?
Yeah, correct. In fact, our manufacturer in Tennessee, we manufacture for a good number of the companies that are out there that do HVAC, UV light, disinfectant, some of the bigger names that are out there. Under NDAs, I can't tell you who we manufacture for, but mm-hmm. I can tell you that they sell a lot of units. And one of the flawed premises is, when you're dealing with an HVAC system that has a UV light, you need the pathogen to come to that UV light and spend a certain amount of time kind of like hanging out, like sitting down for Christmas dinner or unwrapping presents.
Right.
It can't just fly by and get zapped instantaneously. And the second that you close your bedroom door, if you don't have a return vent in every single room, not only are you getting a bad pressure in the room, but you're not getting the circulation that you need. So what our inventor and chief technology officer did was, he actually created a photocatalytic oxidation cell. And what that does is, it actually is a semiconductor of nanoparticle suspension, where the UV light itself is actually creating reactive molecules that are known as superoxides or hydroxyl radicals.
I think I understand. It sounds a little complex, but I think I understand where you're going on this. If I understand this correctly, it's kind of cutting to the chase. Instead of trying to expose, and everybody knows about, I mean, I think most people understand and know about the, you know, the ultraviolet light air cleaners, all right? That those have been out for a long, long time, right? No problem with that.
Correct.
But instead of the air, the ultraviolet light hitting the air, the ultraviolet light ends up creating a substance that ends up circulating throughout the air to kill the bad stuff, right? That kind of thing.
100%. So I tell everybody, we're proactive.
Okay.
We're proactive, not reactive.
Okay.
And the studies that we've seen, I mean, it is absolutely incredible. You know, we just partnered with another company called My Patriot Swap. And if you've never seen what those guys are doing, they're replacing every single household chemical. And I think that, you know, even though the PCO cell can eventually break down the things like bleach or chlorine or ammonia, and they can break it down into a harmless CO2 or H2O, but I think removing those toxic chemicals, if any of your listeners want a free study, there's actually a thoracic lung study that was done out there by about 30 or 40 independent journalists. It was 20 years done over, I think it was like 6,300 male and female participants. And literally, they said that their lung capacity was limited and it was reduced the same amount of smoking a pack of cigarettes a day by just using a household bleach or ammonia product in an unventilated room, which for you guys in the winter, that's anywhere from 6 to 8 months a year. You're not getting well ventilated, you know, areas inside of the home. That to me is pretty alarming, that household chemicals can reduce your lung capacity the same way that smoking a pack of cigarettes does.
Mike Dillon is the founder of airwaterhealing.com. You know, I think we're becoming more cognizant of various off-gassings in various materials. I know that I am. And yet, I got to tell you, Mike, there's a part of me that when I smell bleach when I go in the bathroom, I'm thinking to myself, hey, it's clean. You know, am I a doofus for thinking that rather than thinking, oh, my gosh, it's going to kill me and I have to filter it out? What?
I don't think it's your – I think you're 100% right, because it's what we associate it with, right? You know, when I smell cinnamon, you know, I always associate it with the broomsticks that my grandma used to hang up for Thanksgiving, you know, and you don't think about how toxic things are just because, you know, you're sacrificing one thing, you know. So a lot of people who are neat freaks, you know, I have so many people that, you know, we tell about how horrible these chemicals are, and they're like, yeah, but I've got to put a cap of Fabuloso in my hot water because that's the way my mom and grandma did it. And if it doesn't smell clean, it's not really clean. And now, knowing what we know now, you know, I tell everybody, I don't even promote this product, right? I don't even have it. But there's machines out there that will actually put ozone into the water, and you can take warm water with ozone and disinfect your entire home. That is the next product that I want to get on our website, because I've seen the research of what ozone can do as a disinfectant. And it kind of smells almost like a chlorinated pool. If you've ever been to one of those high-end spas,
yeah,
like the Hyatt Regency, they're all now using ozone. Very, very fun fact about it is I'd actually visited a very beautiful resort that was in Hawaii. And one of the koi ponds, I had walked up to it and I literally smelled ozone. So I went up to the guy that was at the head of the I don't want to call it the aquarium maintenance, but there was a lot of fish tanks there. I said, "Are you using ozone in your koi pond?" He goes, "Shh, don't tell anybody." He goes, "But it's the only way we can keep the koi from dying." And he's like, "How'd you know it was ozone?" I was like, "Oh, I've spent time in the HVAC industry. I was like, I know the smell of ozone." And it made me think, I was like, what if we had an alternative? What if everybody could get ozonated water and be able to wipe down the surfaces? And then for someone like you, you could still associate that clean smell, but not having any chemical byproduct.
Of course, if I do understand my chemistry correctly, putting ozone water on everything, doesn't that rot the rubber? Doesn't it destroy rubber?
So depending on the concentration of the ozone, it can actually break down the rubber gaskets.
Yeah.
But once you put it into water, if you keep it below 0.02 parts per million, you could literally go and see that koi pond. The guy's been running it in there for 15 years, and none of the pumps have ever shut down. So I think it has a lot to do with being doing some science experiments and knowing exactly what you can and can't do. But most people don't have a lot of rubber. I would definitely say you don't want to put ozone water on your pleather couch. But if it's real leather, it won't break it down.
Yeah, there you go. I've talked with Mike Dillon, and his website is airwaterhealing.com. And certainly people can go there and check out, you know, what you're doing there, because what I wanted to ask you about, though, and this is really what I wanted to ask you about, the reason is, although you do sell the filter material and things that you can do these devices to help filter out some of the toxins, what are the worst toxins that we're talking about? Because I know that even granite, or is it not granite, or is it the quartz, that the manufactured quartz, counters, those sort of things, are just amazingly toxic for handling, and people go and live in these houses, and then there's so much outgassing coming from them over the years. Could you comment on that?
So there's a lot of studies right now that are showing that photocatalytic oxidation can break down the radon and the formaldehyde that is coming off of those quartz from those quarries, or if it's synthetic. I'm pretty sure that there's like 13 states now that require the real estate agents to give the homeowner. There's actually a letter that I call it a CYA, right? You know, the cover your butt letter that says, "Hey, there's a chance that the countertop can lead to lung cancer." And I'm like, if that's not a red flag for buying something, you know, then what would be? You know, like California puts Prop 65 on chocolate.
Right. The thing is, though, couldn't this be a bit overblown, though, Mike? Because sometimes I think we get a little bit exhausted by everything's killing us, right? I mean, what really matters when it comes to some of this? Is an occasional bleach going to kill us, or is there something more systemic that you're really more concerned about? Because, you know, it's the everything's killing us syndrome sometimes gets exhausting. You'd have to agree with that. Every time you read, there's something else killing us now.
Well, and, you know, I also think it has to do with, you know, let's try to do like an 80-20 rule, right? You know, my grandfather lived by the 80-20 rule, lived to be 96 years old. And that's a pretty good age if you look at what most people are dying now right now. And I think, you know, if it's 80% of the time you're being conscious about what you're eating, what you're drinking, and the other 20% you're being, you know, a little, you know, curious on the weekends and going out to that, you know, Mexican restaurant that's using seed oils, I don't think it's going to kill you instantly. You know, but you do have to be more conscious about the things that you're bringing into your house. You know, a nutritionist, I had a deep dive with a nutritionist on a podcast one time, and one of the most wonderful and scary things that I've ever heard was he said, everything that you put into your mouth is a life or death decision, not instantly, but 20, 30, 40 years down the road. And an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure. So do your research. Know that there's other options out there. You know, you could go to companies like that I just partnered with, My Patriot Swap, that are helping people put all non-toxic cleaners. So people who don't want to be like that crunchy mom and just use vinegar over everywhere in the house, but still want to have something that can, you know, help clean the toilet bowl and help clean up after the holidays and still have a nice, I think they use like essential oils, right? They use essential oils, no fragrances. And is it 100% organic? No, but it's better than the rest. So I think if everybody starts being more conscious about, hey, what can I do to be better tomorrow? I think our country is going to start looking a lot better. I don't think overnight we're going to become Japan or South Korea, which, by the way, have the longest life expectancies of anywhere in the world.
What is probably the biggest offenders inside our homes right now? I mean, we already talked about the counters and some of that, but stuff that I wouldn't even expect. You talked about wood varnish. Wood varnish? I mean, the varnished wood on the trim there that we have? What? What's going on?
So I actually, you know, beyond the off-gassing from wood varnish and synthetic carpets, especially here in Florida. So if you've ever seen, you know, the issues that we have in Florida with humidity, I've seen houses in New York that were living with black mold. I think black mold is the silent killer. And if you ever talk to anybody or ever had anybody on your show that has been exposed to mold or had mold toxicity, that is one of the most uphill battles I had a lady one time that had breast cancer, and she survived breast cancer, and she said that she would have breast cancer again over the mold poisoning. And I was just like, I was blown away when I heard that, because I mean, I'm not a woman who's suffered breast cancer, but for a woman to say that she'd rather go through her breast cancer again
than the mold,
than to have mold. And that's when I started looking up what it does. I mean, it can literally ruin your life. It's so lethargic, people can't get out of bed.
Yeah, but why didn't we have these problems before? What changed? You know, it's kind of like how everybody has a peanut allergy now, or some food allergy. Any thoughts on that?
You know, I don't think that people really have a peanut allergy, and I promise you.
I was tarring with a broad brush. You know how it seems like everybody has to have either some kind of an allergy or a food sensitivity. They have to change something. You know, you know what I'm getting at. I think it was more what I was.
No, 100%. But you know, and I've always you know pointed out to people. You know, here's the kicker: people who say that they have peanut allergies, 9 out of 10 times, I will say to them, I've got an EpiPen right here. I want to give you a USDA organic peanut butter, and I guarantee you, you're not going to have a reaction. And then they don't. Because what's happening is when you're getting the cheap peanut butter and the cheap peanuts, 90% of the time what they're having is a reaction to the glyphosate because they spray the field. So when you use the peanuts, they go in there after they grow cotton. They don't have enough time to rotate the soil, and they don't change the soil. So what happens is there's regulations. You can spray a lot of chemicals on a cotton field. And if the cotton field is anywhere close to where they're growing peanuts or anywhere on a peanut farm and they have a spray over, what happens is a lot of those peanuts will get contaminated with other chemicals. So then you find out that if you're going into an indoor hydroponically grown or an organic field where they're growing peanuts, then you find out that people don't have a peanut allergy, but it's really a chemical sensitivity to what's in some of those cheaper peanuts that don't have as much quality control.
Okay. Interesting. Now, that's not Mike's wheelhouse, so to speak, but it's an interesting story there. Mike Dillon is the founder of AirWaterHealing.com. Of course, you work the air side of things here. And I think some people want to ask some questions here. Maybe, you know, go with you here. Line two, good morning. You're on with Mike Dillon. Good morning.
This is Dawn, and I watch these TV commercials, and I know all these problems are addressed by a plug-in device that puts a few neurotoxins and excitotoxins into the air. Won't those plug-in devices fix everything?
It depends. Is he talking about a Glade air freshener?
I'm being facetious.
Oh,
yeah, those are dangerous chemicals. Come on.
Oh, but were you kind of making fun of the plug-in stuff? Is that what you were thinking of?
I've done my research. They're full of. It's just excitotoxins. They affect your hormone levels. They affect your brain and your five senses.
Okay. What do you say to that, Mike? Does he have a point?
I mean, I love it because it's like they're it's the same exact thing with the seed oils in this country. You know, when they were mass producing the corn and the canola oil, and there was a lot of that stuff getting put into the grass. The ranchers that had grass-fed cows, and then 5 miles down the road, they had cows that were eating all of the processed GMO synthetic oils. And they're like, well, we can't keep giving this to the cattle. So what did the government say? Well, let's put it in Doritos.
What could go wrong?
You know, it's fascinating. It's like it used to be you talk about the seed oils, Mike, and people would say you had a tinfoil hat. Now the research is actually coming out and saying, yeah, it's not good.
It's not good at all. And it's like, you know, I, and listen, I don't want to pick on anybody. Okay. I've traveled the world.
And by the way, I love Doritos. I have to keep them away from me for that reason. I think I'm addicted to seed oils. Okay.
I'm telling you 100%. You will not have one person ever on your show that has been to more cities than me because of my 30-year trade show business. And I will tell you, Grand Rapids, Michigan was the first city to ever introduce fluoride to the water, which means that no generation has been drinking fluoride longer than Grand Rapids. And if you've never been to downtown Grand Rapids and had conversations with some of those people, you will understand what fluoride is doing to your brain.
I think it completely explains the election of Gretchen Whitmer and the re-election of Gretchen Whitmer, in my opinion. But we'll digress on that one. Hang on a minute here, Mike. Let's grab one more call here before we take off, and then we'll give your website one more time. Hi there. Who's this? You're with Mike Dillon.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Bob in Medford. I got city council stuff, but not...
Okay. All right. So you're off topic. That's fine. Hey, Mike, I'll tell you what. If people want to find out more of what you're doing, I think it's really fascinating, especially the you know, the ultraviolet light thing, kind of an expanded thing. I don't want to get too much into the weeds on that. People can just go to your website and check that out if you want. Okay. Is that a good way of looking at it? Fair enough?
Yeah, absolutely. They can just go to airwaterhealing.com, and if they've got any questions, they can give us a call, shoot us an email.
Okay. Now then, like I said, I'm always concerned when I see these kind of things if everything's killing us, but it appears that the research is sound that we do have more of an indoor air pollution problem than we once thought, and that's probably because of the buttoning up of the homes, really, and making them tighter. What is probably the number one offender, though, if you had to pick one out of all the indoor pollutants? What's the worst?
Household chemicals. I think it's the things that are being, you know, bought on the store shelves, the toilet bowl cleaners and the Lysols, because that stuff has nowhere to go. It really has nowhere to go. And like you said, you know, there was an article that was done in 1999 all the way through 2009, and it had said that we have trapped ourselves in with a deadly toxic precision. 50% of all illnesses are caused or aggravated by polluted indoor air. And I think that should have everybody scared. Does that mean they're caused or aggravated? I mean, is it 10% to 40? I don't know. But, you know, it was in a medical book. 50% of all illnesses are caused or aggravated by polluted indoor air. So if you wouldn't put it on your skin, don't spray it on your countertop.
All right. There you go. That is a good Conspiracy Theory Thursday guest, Mike. OK, appreciate the call. All right. You be well. OK.
Have a good one.
You too, now. Mike Dillon, he's the founder of airwaterhealing.com. Let me go to Bob. Bob Shan here. Bob, we appreciate you coming on. And you wanted to weigh in on city council tonight. I want to make sure people get that too, okay?
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, I was reviewing the city council's agenda for tonight's meeting. The good news is there's no request from parks to increase the fees to pick up the garbage.
That's not yet, though.
However, the last 13 pages of the 40 pages, there's about $35 million in increased appropriations to go into all the various funds. It discusses the source of those funds, whether they be grants or other things. It covers police, fire, public works, and city parks. So when I see all of this money, $35 million plus, where the money's coming from, where they want it to go, damn them for asking for any fee increases.
Now, I want to know, though, why are we doing this right now in the final couple of weeks of the current council? We have a new mayor coming in January. We have new council members coming in January. Why are you doing anything big at right this very moment? Is there like a requirement that it be done? It just seems like an odd time to do it.
I think it may be within their code, because it seems that starting in October, they start doing their budget for the bienniums, 23-25, for every 2 years. So it seems to come starting in October, and, you know, it takes them a couple months to get through everything and crash and grind all the numbers. So why they do it then, I don't know if it has to do with the quarters or what. You know, maybe Ryan Martin, the chief financial officer, could answer that simply and briefly. But I just want Medford citizens to look and see the money trail, where it's going, where it's coming from, who's getting it, and what fund it's going into. damn them for asking for any fee increases. Seems like there's enough money out there to do what they need to do if they budget and spend their money wisely.
My concern, though, about the city council is that the goal seems to be to increase fees in order to add more people to the Parks Department, in order to take care of the bum problems, you know, the bum issue.
Right.
It's not.
They shouldn't have to.
Exactly. They shouldn't have to. This is taking care of a symptom. It is not taking care of a of a root problem. All right. I appreciate the call very much there, and thank you for keeping an eye on that, Bob. It's a minute after eight. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Speaking of city councils, I wanted to ask if anybody went to the Grants Pass City Council meeting last night. And this is the one in which they were going to, speaking of the homeless issue, talk about there was going to be some conversation on whether Mint, you know, the one of the homeless organizations that is helping the homeless there, was going to purchase the Parker Building. And they wanted $750,000 from the residents of Grants Pass in order to do this. Did anything come of that? If anybody have some eyes or ears on it, let me know. 770-5633. You're on the Bill Meyer Show.
Johnny Cash recorded I Walk the Line in 1956, and this first hit of many stayed on the chart for 43 weeks. If you're having trouble walking the line because of sloping floors, or you're seeing lines in the walls and ceilings, call Millette Construction. They'll inspect your foundation and offer a free estimate that'll give you straight lines in no time, including fixing the water problem that caused the damage. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Getting ready to move? Crosstown Movers agent for Beacons Van Lines is Southern Oregon's trusted name for moving and storage, with professional, friendly service and affordable rates for moving locally, statewide, or across the country. Crosstown Movers is your local Penske truck rental dealer with a huge selection of boxes and supplies. Crosstown Movers also has 20-foot outdoor mini storage units available for rent at 411 First Street in Medford. So when you're moving or just storing, save time and stress and check out crosstownmover.net for all of your moving and storage needs.
When choosing a contractor, you need a professional. Clauser Drilling's professionalism starts with their organized office staff and continues with their experienced field staff. A family-owned business, Clauser Drilling employs qualified individuals with diverse skills and experience who share the same passion. This means dependable results you can trust. Don't take a risk on your well contractor. For drilling, deepening, or repair, call 541-476-7795 or visit clauserdrilling.com. Serving Southern Oregon since 1971. Thanks to you, they're great customers.
Completed Electric Plus installs all the power plugs you need around your house. Need to have your EV power station hooked up? Completed. Outlet for your hot tub on the patio? Completed. Need to connect your generator to your breaker box with a flip of a switch? Completed. Completed Electric Plus puts power where you need it quickly, expertly, and affordably with certified electricians specializing in residential electrical jobs. Call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit CompletedElectricPlus.com.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second. If your identity's stolen, their U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it guaranteed or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
Streamed on KMED.com, and we appreciate you listening wherever you happen to be. Holly Morton, her ears were burning. I mentioned I was looking for anybody who can give a report on what happened with the homeless racket requesting going on over at the Grants Pass City Council meeting. Did anything occur with the Parker Building or not? What do you say, Holly? Welcome back.
Yes, what happened is they decided on a 5-3 vote to go ahead and sign up for that, for the Mint to run a low barrier shelter in the Parker Building.
It was a 5-3 vote. It was not a unanimous vote. Interesting.
Yeah, 5-3. There were a lot of people who were not interested in it. Mint is the cream of the crop, probably, when it comes to the NGOs. You know, they are very good, loving people. They're doing a good job. But, you know, this is a very difficult project. They're going into a building that's probably 100 years old, you know, wood floors, really, a crazy thing. I have not been able to see a program that I'm comfortable with, and I you know, my comments were that, you know, it's a business arrangement and you want to have a good business plan going into it. And it's wildly undercapitalized. I mean, they're going in just hoping that somehow or another that grants will materialize, keep the program going.
All right. Now, I want to be clear, though. I find that interesting because I've never talked to anyone at Mint specifically, but I've had a lot to say about the nonprofit rackets that have grown up around servicing the homelessness in the state of Oregon. And I understand. And there's always a need, and the need never goes away. But you're saying that Mint is one of the better ones, right? I want to be clear. We understand.
Mint is definitely the creme de la creme of
okay.
It. You know, it doesn't matter because you get a situation that you're undercapitalized. It doesn't matter who's running it. If you don't have a really good program and if you don't have the money to do it, you know, you're going to have problems.
And I would imagine you have to be careful going into 2025, especially because as I've talked with Herman and various other people, a lot of the grant stream funding that got shoved into the gullet of NGOs and a lot of our Oregon governments, there's not as much of that available in 2025. And even the federal government is going to have to be looking at ways to trim the sails rather than shovel more money into things. It gets a little concerning, right?
Well, it is. And you know, people are under the impression that grant is sort of manna from God. You know, it's grant money is money that they take from your taxes. They send it up to Salem. They turn it around and send it back, and they give it to various organizations to do, in a lot of cases, what we don't want done.
Well, like Stab and Wagon in Jackson County has always been, I've had an issue with that because, you know, look at the needle problem that we have in a lot of the various parks, and, you know, boxes of needles end up coming, and there's no real accountability to it. We're just, you know, we're feeding the bears, or feeding the problem, I guess, is what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at.
I think a lot of people brought that up that, you know, and build it and they will come. I mean, first of all, they're going to have maybe a 50 bed capacity within, I don't know, I can't remember what 6 months they wanted to have 50 bed capacity within that amount of time.
Do they have a plan, though, to actually get people unhomeless? If that is such a...
Well, see, that's been my point. You know, I talked to a lot of the city council members before, and I said, gosh, you know, the common denominator of this is drug use. 90% of the people that are in those problems have a drug problem. What we really need to do is, rather than buy a building to house them, we need to have, you know, a program to get them off drugs so that they can actually, you know, be comfortable every day of their life, you know, not just take them out of the weather, you know, for a little while.
Yeah, because low barrier shelter means essentially this is where you can, you know, there's no rules or very low rules. That's the whole concept of the low barrier shelter. And that's why I think many people get upset about having the possibility of a low barrier shelter in your neighborhood. It's feeding the bears in your neighborhood and it could be some spill off trouble coming from it. I understand.
It right across from the park. The building is right across from the Riverside Park. And they just got these people out of the park. So you could have all these people in the building, but they're not supposed to hang out in the building all day.
Yeah.
So where are they going to go? They're going to go to the park. They're going to go to Buy Mart next door. You know.
Yeah, it's just, you got to be really careful. Okay, so they're going to move forward 5-3. Hopefully, they're going to have to keep a pretty good tight leash on this one for sure. Holly, I appreciate the take on it. And also, this is a great time to remind that get your vote in on the John West recall, and of course, you want to vote no on the recall. That's the way we tend to look at it.
All right, absolutely no. And you can watch this. You can watch the city council meeting. You know, you can go online and watch that city council meeting to see what happened. But that's the gist of it. They plan to move forward.
All right. Thank you very much for the report there, Holly. 770-5633. It's open phones this hour on Conspiracy Theory Thursday on KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. And hi, who is this? Welcome.
It's Mike Pelfrey from Grants Pass. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing fine, Mike. You want to weigh in, too. Must be burning your ears up on this this topic, I would imagine. Go ahead.
Yep. It's burning my ears and it's flaming my tongue. So I was at that meeting last night, and I also listened to the counselors and listened to the excuses, especially Valerie Lovelace. She kept stating that council has been trying to create a low barrier shelter for 4 years. So the other side of that comment is the fact that they've been trying to shove a low barrier shelter in locations that were not suitable. And when they tried to do that, every single attempt, the taxpaying citizens showed up and voiced their concerns. So now what they did was they basically, in my opinion, they did a Joe Biden. And what I mean by that is they tried to shove something in at the last minute because they know they're leaving. I was sitting in the audience, and as I got up to leave, Vanessa Ogier, this is a outgoing city councilor that was overwhelmingly voted out because these city councilors have failed this community.
Well, these are parting shots. What happened yesterday is a parting shot, isn't it?
It's 100% a parting shot. She gave me a really funny looking smirk on her face. That was proof to me that they got their way right before they exited the door stage left. So I'm hoping and praying that this building fails every inspection and every code possible, because again, at the end of the day, it's still a real estate deal. And if they could sit there and vote all day long last night about this particular location, which, just like Holly mentioned, it is the worst location that I can think of. The Elks Lodge was probably the worst location attempt, but this one is just as bad because it's right in a major thoroughfare. It's right next to Bi-Mart, which, by the way, I feel sorry for them because they're going to actually lose every one of their shopping carts. The people are going to have to be able to go in there and shop without a shopping cart because they're all going to be parked down there at the Parker building.
Well, you know, we're going to get to the point sometimes where we used to joke about the bike lanes being bum lanes. Maybe the bike lanes turn into cart lanes, you know, around these neighborhoods.
Exactly. And so, again, the city council last night did a complete injustice to the community. But in the end, what I would like our citizens of Grants Pass to know that on November 5th, we the people spoke very loudly, and we showed these very, very, very terrible counselors and horrible mayor. We showed them exactly how we feel. And again, this might be their parting shot, but I want our citizens to know that in the end, starting in January, Patriots are in control.
Okay, now, is there a way that an incoming council can remand or hold this back if they don't think that it's a good situation? Or is this like, this is going to move forward one way or the other? There's no way that anybody with common sense can stop the low barrier shelter.
Well, you know, I don't know because I can't speak for the city or the council, but I can tell you that I would hope that this new city council and this mayor will explore every opportunity possible to back us out of this particular horrible deal.
All right.
And if not, you know, I think in the end, time will tell, and I believe the citizens are going to be proven right again that this is a terrible location.
All right. Mike Pelfrey, thank you for the call there. 770-5633. It is open phones. It is Conspiracy Theory Thursday, and I'm happy to talk with you about that or anything else on your mind, whether it's toxins in the air, lead in the gasoline, and having made Generation X supposedly depressed. Do you buy that? I have my doubts. I think there are a lot of other things we should be looking at and a bunch more. This is the Bill Myers Show. I need a beignet break. A beignet. I always have trouble pronouncing that. Beignet. But they're yummy.
This holiday season, warm up with the festive flavor.